There is a shareholder agreement. Shareholders are people who invest in the project and get a share of the profit. The shareholders agreement is an agreement between project sponsors to form a special purpose company in relation to the project development. So a special purpose company is created for the development of that project. This is the most basic of structures held by the sponsors in a project finance transaction between the sponsors. And it basically deals with financing, that is, injection of share capital, which also, because being shareholders, they are also allowed voting rights. So what are the voting requirements? What are the resolutions of force one, that is, the shareholders, what are the resolutions that has got to be passed? What would be the dividend policy? What would be the management of the special purpose company? And disposal and preemption rights. Ultimately, after the end of the usage, how will the project be disposed and the funds or finance be redistributed? Who would get rights on which priority basis? Next, there is an offtake agreement. Offtake means purchasing what is being developed in that particular project, what is being produced in that particular project. So here also there is an agreement. An offtake agreement is an agreement is between the project company and the offtaker. That means who would be buying the produce of that particular project. In a project financing, the revenue is often contracted, and this governs the mechanism of price and volume, which would make up the revenue for that particular entity. The intention of this agreement is to provide the project company with sufficient revenue to pay its project debt obligations, cover the operating costs, and provide certain required return to the sponsors also. First, repayment of debt and giving some part of profit to the sponsors also. Otherwise, why would the sponsor create the project? Okay. The main types of these offtake agreements are: one, take or pay contract. Under this contract, the offtaker on an agreed price basis is obliged to pay for product on a regular basis, whether or not the offtaker actually takes the product. There is an agreed timely period over which payment has got to be given, whether he takes the produce of that project or he does not. This is the first type of contract, that is take or pay contract. Next comes the power purchase agreement, commonly used in a power project in emerging markets. The purchasing entity is usually a government entity. Government will tell the sponsors, you build this project, power project, and we will continue taking the power which arises from this and giving it to the consumers, and we will collect from the consumers. But we will give you your price as per agreed offtake agreement. Next form is take and pay contract. The offtaker only pays for the product taken on an agreed price basis. What he takes, he will pay. What he does not take, he will not pay. This is where the difference is from the first one. First one is, whether you take or you don't take, you've got to pay. Here, no. Here, you will take and then pay for that. If you don't take, you will not pay. This is another form of the offtake agreement. Next comes the long-term sales contract. The offtaker agrees to take agreed upon quantities of the product from the project. Mostly this kind of mining projects. So long-term contracts are entered into by different manufacturers who will be using this as their raw material. Hedging contract found in the commodity market, such as in an oil field project. Oil field projects, there are always uncertainties. And therefore, the contracts enter into a hedging contract. The off-taker enters into an hedging contract where risk is taken over by the hedging company. Contract for differences. The project company sells its product into the market and not to the off-taker or hedging counterpart. That means here, the offtake agreement will say that if the hedging company or the offtaker do not take produce at a given price from me, I will have the freedom to sell it into the open market at whatever rate I decide and cover my costs and payment factor, including profit margin. Or whatever produce you buy from us, if I manufacture or if I produce more than that quantity, I can sell it into the local market. This is the contract for differences. Then comes the throughput contract. This is mainly for pipeline gas connectivities. A user of pipeline gas agrees to use it to carry not less than a certain volume of product and pay a minimum price for this. It is not price of the gas, no. Gas purchase and sale contract is totally different by different entities. He would only get payment for the pipeline that he has laid and for the quantum of gas or oil which is transported through that pipeline. This is the throughput contract. As a corollary to the offtake agreement, there is a supply agreement. That means supply of raw material required for production, which is to be used by the offtakers. Supply agreement is between the project company and the supplier of the required feedstock, fuel, raw material, etc., etc. The volume of input supplies required by the project company is usually linked to the project's output or the offtake required. The main supply agreements are 1. Fixed or variable supply. The supplier agrees to provide a fixed quantity of supplies or a variable supply to the project company, depending on the agreement that has been made. Next comes the output or reserve dedication. Here the supplier dedicates the entire output from a specific source, like a coal mine or its own other plants, which is dedicated to the project, not to a third party. As a corollary, the second other part is again an interruptible supply. Some supplies, such as gas, are offered on a lower cost interruptible basis, often via a pipeline also supplying to other users, supplies given to that particular project and also supplies being given to other projects. So there is always an interruptible usage, part usage by A project, part usage by B project. Next type of the agreement comes by a tolling contract. The supplier may choose not to supply if it can be used more profitably elsewhere. So that's a agreement which gives an option to the contractor. Next type of agreement is the loan agreement. A loan agreement is made between the project company, that is the borrower, and the lenders. Borrower is the project company. Lenders are those people who will finance. The general conditions which are precedent to this kind of an agreement is the availability period during which the borrower is obliged to pay a commitment fee. The fees are all committed. Then drawdown mechanisms over which period, over which stages, depending on various stages of performance, drawdown of payment will be done. That would be declared in the loan agreement. Then there is an interest clause charged to a margin over base price that is declared in the loan agreement. Next comes the repayment clause, how the repayment would be done. Then there will be different types of financial covenants, that is calculation of key project metrics, ratios and covenants. That means generation of the profitability would be done on a financial covenant calculation basis. Then there would be dividend restrictions. Why? Because definitely the people who are giving the loan, they'll say, first of all, you have got to pay back to us and then give dividends to the shareholders. But shareholders will also say, ki, since we are shareholders, we also need certain dividends. So there will be an agreement between the two different distinctions entities. Then there will be different types of representations and warranties involved. And above all, there will be an illegality clause. The illegality clause would hint upon the factors of default in the payment or in disposal. There is intercreditor agreement also is another form over here. It is agreed between the main creditors of the project company to govern the common terms and relationships amongst the different types of lenders in respect of the borrower's obligation. The borrower's obligations is to pay the creditors. Now, there are different types of creditors. Shareholders, mezzanine creditors, main sponsors, banks. Right? Now, the agreement would be on what would be the factor of the repayment clause. Who would get prominence to what extent, what percentage? And these terms would have, agreement would have common terms, order of drawdown payments coming to them, which order, who will get what quantum, cash flow waterfall, that means as soon as cash flows are arriving, who would get what percentage at what stage, limitation on liability of creditors to vary their rights. Each type of creditor has got different rights as far as limitation of liability is concerned. Then comes the voting rights. Who would get voting rights and who would not get, and to what extent? Next comes notification of default. In case of any default in the repayment or the interest or the offtake, who would notify during which period? And then it will result in order of applying the proceeds of debt recovery. In case of a default, there will be a debt recovery entity, and what would be the proceeds applicable to which entity on which priority basis. And if there is a mezzanine funding component, the terms of subordination and other principles to apply as between the senior debt provider and the mezzanine debt provider. These all these steps would be on the basis of this intercreditor agreement, which will be entered into as part of the project contract. Then, of course, there will be a tripartite agreement or a tripartite deed. The financiers would require that a direct relationship between itself and the counterpart or to that contract be established. Here, acknowledgement of security by confirmation by the contractor to the financier, taking security over the project contract. This is an acknowledgement of security. Then notice of default to be given. Obligation on the project counterparty to notify the lenders of defaults by the project company under this particular contract. It would be the responsibility of the project company to notify the lenders. Then step-in rights and extended periods. This is to ensure that lenders will have sufficient notice or period to enable it to remedy any breach by the borrower, to take certain steps to protect their rights of getting their reimbursements, and also to appoint a receivership. A receivership will be acknowledgement by the party regarding the appointment of a receiver by the lenders, not the borrowers, under the contract, and that the receiver may continue the borrower's performance. This is in case there is a default by the borrower of the finance. The lenders could appoint a receiver to the project. Ultimately, sale of asset of the project in case of default. Terms and conditions upon which the lenders may transfer the borrower's entitlements under the relevant contract. What would be the terms after default that the lenders will take over, appoint a receiver, and on what basis the receiver will give them their part of the funds? Of course, this will all again lead to common terms agreement. This is another form of agreement. These are all, you know, parts of the turnkey projects, not different. All are connected to each other. An agreement between the financing parties and the project company, which sets out the terms that are common to all the financing instruments and the relationship between them. There are so many parties to that particular project. There will be one common agreement showing the terms, conditions, and relationship to each other. A common terms agreement greatly clarifies and simplifies the multi-sourcing of the finance for a project, and it also ensures that the parties have a common understanding of key definitions and critical events. If at all the project is passing through any critical events, they will be listed out. Definition as per the common terms of agreement. The term sheet, again, is another agreement between the borrower and the lender for the cost, provision and repayment of debt. The borrowers will have to give a term sheet agreement to the lenders for repayment of the debt. The term sheet will outline the key terms and conditions of the financing. All terms and conditions of the financing will be outlined in the term sheet. And the term sheet will eventually be replaced by the definitive finance documents when the project reaches its financial close. Okay, friends, we have gone through all types of different agreements as far as the project is concerned. Now, let us look at the institutions which provide finance to the various type of projects. There are a number of institutions. Most of them are World Bank, known as World Bank. Under the World Bank, we have got various institutions. First, let us look at IBRD. IBRD is International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. It is an international financial institute that offers loans to middle, now mind you, the terminology, middle income developing countries. Different institutes provide to different types of countries, okay? So middle income developing countries, they get the finance from IBRD. The bank provides commercial grade or concessional financing to sovereign governments directly or projects backed by sovereign governments. Either the government will approach or the project authority will approach for finance, but that has got to be backed by the sovereign government of the country. The funding should be to improve energy investments, transportation and infrastructure, education, domestic policy, environmental consciousness, healthcare, access to food and potable water, and access to improved sanitation. These are the conditions on which the loan is provided by IBRD. It also provides strategic coordination and information services to its borrowing member countries. Initially, right at the beginning, how did this IBRD come into the picture? Following the reconstruction of Europe, the bank's mandate has transferred to eradicate poverty around the world. Initially, this was created by Europe because Europe was devastated by the world wars to a very great extent. And therefore, this bank came into existence to rebuild Europe. But after Europe was rebuilt, then subsequently it has also invested in France, Belgium, and Luxembourg's steel industries. Then the bank has financed projects to dam the rivers, generate electricity, and improve access to water and sanitation. The bank has also offered policy-based guarantees to cover countries' sovereign default risk. Subsequently, I'll explain to you what are sovereign defaults. Okay? Partial credit guarantees to cover the credit risk of a sovereign government in case government is not able to repay their sovereign debt loan that a government takes from other governments. Yes, IBRD helps them. To help borrowers protect against catastrophes and other special risks, the bank offers a catastrophe deferred drawdown option to provide financing after a natural disaster or after a declared state of emergency. These are all known as emergency funding due to a catastrophe. Next, we have the IDA, or International Development Association. This is another type of bank under the World Bank. The International Development Association is an international finance institution, just like IBRD, of course. But here the difference comes, which offers concessional loans and grants to the world's poorest developing countries. IBRD will give middle developing countries. Here, there will be poorest developing countries. The poorest developing countries cannot take finance from other institutions. They will not get finance from IBRD. So, they have got to approach the IDA. Why? Because IDA's stated aim is to reduce poverty and provide affordable development financing to countries whose credit risk is so prohibitive that they cannot afford to borrow commercially. Borrowing commercially means you borrow and pay interest. Okay? But the poorest countries cannot borrow commercially or from any other bank's program. IDA also aims to assist poorest nations in growing more quickly, equitably, and sustainably to reduce poverty. Mainly, all poverty alleviation programs, you are allowed to approach the IDA. That means the respective sovereign governments can approach IDA for getting funds, but not commercial firms. It is not commercial firms. That means it will not be a commercial borrowing. It will not be a borrowing where interest has got to be paid. To be eligible to support from the IDA, countries are assessed by their poverty and their lack of creditworthiness for commercial and IBRD borrowing. Once they enter the stage where they can borrow commercially or from IBRD, they are out of the gamut of the IDA. IDA lends to countries with the aim to finance projects that will develop infrastructure, improve education, healthcare, access to clean water and sanitation facilities, and other environmental responsibilities. It is considered to be the soft lending window of the World Bank, while IBRD is considered to be the hard lending window. Hard lending window means it will want certain returns in the form of interest, maybe a concessional interest. But IDA, no. IDA's loan and grants are usually not paid in full to the borrower at the outset. Immediately they don't pay in full, but rather dispersed incrementally as needed by the project. That means stage-wise, it will make payment for the project. Financial resources are allocated to eligible countries based on their successful at implementing pro-growth and poverty-reducing domestic policies. That means the policies of the government has got to be pro-growth and poverty reduction. This is the primary requirement for getting funds from IDA by the poorest of the nations. Regular IDA eligible borrowers can take advantage of no interest loans, and financial resources are allocated to eligible countries based on their success at implementing the pro-growth and poverty reduction domestic policies. Step by step, they have got to prove it, yes, not by only word of mouth. Bank prioritizes lending to those countries which are indicated to be most promising in terms of favorable policies and aid effectiveness. That means the respective governments will have to ensure that they have favorable policies for poverty alleviation, etc. Of course, one important factor which the association has adopted is the immediate response mechanism developed in 2011 to provide IDA borrowers with immediate access to withdraw undisposed portion of their loans because a crisis arises that meets with the mechanism's criteria. Yes, dispersal on basis of the project completion step by step. But in case a crisis arises, they can offtake immediately full quantum of their loan. It will be dispersed to them to overcome that particular crisis. That's a mechanism process created in 2011. Thank you.